Chapter 50, Vanity, 2022. It's a weird concept, vanity. It's a weird concept. It's hard to be a teacher. It's hard to be a preacher. With all the preparation that everyone does, a preacher does, that I always have newfound respect for the preachers and teachers that I see in church, because I know how much they prepare. Now that I have been doing this for so long, I know how much they must prepare to keep a church involved. Pastor Rick is on the phone this morning. He was senior pastor at his church for over 20 years. And how much preparation there is to prepare for one person or 500 person, 5,000 people, 50,000 people, it's the same. And people get up and they leave, or they don't come to church, or it's disheartening. It has to be, because we're made out of flesh and blood. How we feel about how others perceive us, it's hard. Vanity is hard. I'm on this phone. When I hear people click in and click out, it's disruptive to me. When I hear them click off, it's disruptive, because I am a human being, and I have prepared for this. And if I think that someone has walked out or left it's disheartening, you know. Vanity is hard on us. There is a thing to explain today about vanity, but everything that we do is challenging, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about vanity in a good way, a bad way. Well, vanity is never in a good way, because sometimes I say that ego imbalance is a good thing. It gets a bad rap, right? Ego is required to run a company or run a church. You have to know you got the goods, that you and God, you know, you got to have some faith. You got to have some ego behind that. Well, yeah, you know, sometimes I think it gets kind of a bad rap, but as far as vanity goes, no, vanity is an out of whack problem. It's out of whack. And I'm going to tell you two sides of it that I have encountered, not just one, but two sides. It's an out of whack thing. Romans 12:3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. So when I talk about, you know, it feels weird when people click off the phone, or when, as I see preachers preaching and I see people get up and walk out, they might just be going to the bathroom, right? They might just be, you know, or they might have gotten a call that somebody was in the hospital. I don't know, but it has to be disheartening as I watch and I see that a pastor is prepared and stands in front of his flock and people get up and leave, or they fall asleep, or they're... It has to be disheartening. Is that vanity? Maybe. But we are people with feelings, and there is a difference between honestly feeling sad and vanity, or anything else really. But it is important to note that when you prepare for work and someone complains, you know, a lot of people complain when you're done with a job just because they're negotiating for a better price. And after you've done a really good job, they tell you it's not any good and they need a better price, and, you know, and they go through that. And it is very sad. It's sad. It's upsetting. Is that vanity? I think not. I think not. I think that is just being sad, and it's okay to be sad. I'm not talking about being sad today. I'm talking about a miscalculation. I'm talking about something that's out of adjustment. So I want to make sure you understand the difference of vanity and everything else. Vanity is out of adjustment. Chapter 50, Vanity 22. I read that scripture one more time. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Wow, by the faith God has given us. Didn't say by anything else. Didn't say by anything else. In this lesson, I'm teaching my experience with vanity. A little known fact. A little known fact. Vanity for all of us can work two ways. Too much stuff, not enough stuff. I'll explain that in a minute. Too much stuff, not enough stuff. Well, it's going to come down to just the wrong stuff, no matter how you slice it. But the bottom line is vanity pushes us to get the wrong stuff. It's not necessarily that I'm better or not better than anybody else. It's that I think I don't, it's that I don't think I'm what I am. So I invent a me that isn't me. It's weird, right? I don't think whatever I am is what I am. I don't, for whatever reason, good enough, not good enough, whatever that is, I invent a me that isn't me. Weird. Do you serve the world or do you serve the Lord? Do you serve the world or do you serve the Lord? What do you want to, who are you looking good for, right? Who are you looking weird for? Whatever, what are you doing? What am I doing? You may have heard me talk about principle number two. Of course you have, in reorganization. There are four of them, but I'm talking about number two. There's four principles I teach, but I'm talking about number two. It'll help you clarify your position. Always supportive, we are, slightly detached, and always, always equal, right? We try to be supportive, a little bit detached, so we can see the overview. We don't get hurt, a little detached, and always equal, not above people or below people, right? You remember the cup people? Let me give you that. The cup people are very important. When you're outside of the cup, when you're not in the cup, you're in service. Service to the king and others around you. You can do principle number two. You can be always supportive, slightly detached, and always equal. You're out of the cup. You're there to serve. You dig it. Out of the cup means you get to serve. You get to serve, and in the service, you get better. You get better. You get better serving others. You get better. Yeah, oh yeah, dig it. The cup people. The people inside the cup believe themselves to be large and in charge until all of what is in the cup. Remember what I told you about the cup? Coffee in a cup that you leave out in the backyard, right? If you leave it out there long enough, it turns into a science project out there, right? Suddenly all the organisms in it are fighting to see who's in charge of this stupid cup, right? People inside the cup believe themselves to be large and in charge until what? Until all of it dries up and the cup world and everything in it is over. It just blows away. Or you wash it out and it's all gone, right? So principle number two, use it wisely and it'll help you with this vanity thing. You're all outside of the cup, but we have cup thinking. We never forget cup thinking is limited. I'm going to do it this way. I did it that way before. I'm large and in charge. We get called stiff-necked in the Bible. You know, we try to avoid that thinking because we got out of the cup. That's the cup thinking, you know? So vanity. You're never above or below anyone. You are even with them and here to assist whenever possible. Vanity gets in the way of that because you can't assist correctly. Correctly is the whole job in and of itself, doing things correctly. Let's talk about it. How do you know who you are or what you're supposed to be? How do you know? Scripture tells us we are a new creation in Christ. True. What do you do with that? Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Submit to him and he will make your path straight. Which brings me to my experience with two sides of vanity. I'm going to point out examples of these two very different sides of vanity as I have experienced it. Some may say this has something to do with self-esteem. Fear, confusion, stupidity, any number of emotional anomalies yet to be determined, and probably too many to even name. I say, I had to come to this. I don't care. Who cares? Who cares, man? We are in charge of corporations. We need answers, solutions, and direction, period. Not rhetoric or years of professional help yielding more questions than answers. I don't need that. What I need is to get the job done today. Colossians 3:9. Don't lie to each other. For you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Whoa, what did he talk about? Lying suddenly. Vanity is lying. This is what I am. I'm all that in a bag of chips. No, you're not. You are what you are. God made you great. In God, you are great. Without God, you're not. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Don't lie to each other. Pretend like you're something. You're done with that. You're done with that. How do I deal with vanity? Now, I'm closing in on vanity. I'm closing in on it for you. Is vanity a bad thing? Should I not want good things for myself? Well, in a word, maybe. Vanity is not a good thing. But maybe you're confusing it with something. Yes, you need good things. You need the best things to do the job. I find that I need to ask the right question, not invent more questions. I need to ask the right question. What's the right question? There is only one in this chapter. What's the right question? What do I need to do the job that needs to be done? What do I need to do the job that needs to be done? Say it again. What do I need to do the job that needs to be done? In answering that question, I'm far clearer on what I'm supposed to talk about, what I'm supposed to wear, and what tools I need for the job. I mean, if I'm in construction, I need a truck, comfortable rugged clothing, a hat for my head to shield the sun, and the correct tools to do the job. That's it. Clearly, I don't need a Maserati, a diamond bracelet, a new weave, $1,000 shoes, and a grill on my teeth. That would not be the correct answer to what I need today on the job. How do I work with humility, self-esteem, social pressure, perception, and perspective? Well, it comes down to perception and perspective. I got to set all this stuff down. What's my self-esteem? Where's my social pressure? I got to stop asking those silly questions. There's no answer to that. That's like conjecture, on and on and on and on and on and on. Just more questions and more wasting of time, more coffee. More coffee and sitting still talking about nothing. Perception and perspective. Let me break that down. Perception is what's in my head. What I think is happening, which may or may not be true, and most of the time it's definitely not accurate. You've heard me say before, your head is a dangerous neighborhood. Don't go in there by yourself. Perception. Perception is different than perspective. Perspective, on the other hand, is a mathematical term. It's actually a measurement, and a measurement is something I can actually see and make an accurate assessment. Let's stick to the facts. What is going on? What is actually happening? Not what's going on in your head. Remember what I said. Your head's a dangerous neighborhood, man. Don't go in there by yourself. That's why fellowship came up with each other. Okay, let's stick to the facts. On any given day, I have a job to do. That's a fact. What kind of hair do I need? What color polish on my nails? What kind of car? What kind of airplane? What should I talk about or not? What church should I go to? What people should I hang out with or not? What Bible verses should I quote? And the list could go on and on. Now, I'm not a girl. I'm a man. And I try to be a man every day, so I don't have nail polish, so I don't need that, okay? I don't have earrings. I don't have dresses. I have man things to do. And I have to dress the part and be the part. If I was a girl, I'd have a different list. Girls and boys are on the phone right now. Men and women are on the phone. Depending on the circumstances, whatever you may need, what I just said, what right airplane, car, polish on my nails, Bible verses, whatever it is, I may need those things for the job. If I'm going for a job interview, best I concern myself with personal presentation, right? If I'm headed for a Bible study, best be prepared for the correct verses. I wouldn't wear work boots and a giant sun hat, chaps, and a tool belt to church. That would be incorrect. Again, what tools do I need to do the job requirements for today? The job that the Lord has given me on the list this very day, this very moment. No myth, the real deal where the rubber meets the road. Where did God call you to be right now, right now, right now, right now? He will provide everything you need to do what He wants you to do right now, right now. That's a set of words that matters. Does that mean you're not supposed to look nice? Look, if you're going out with your husband or your spouse to a dinner engagement with a business associates, you have to look your best. You have to be your best. You have to be of sound, sober mind. Right? God provides you with everything you need to do what He wants you to do right now, right now. He provides. That's a set of words that matters. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What's that say right there? It says He's got your back. What you need, He's got. He got it for you. Is it vanity that makes me buy a Maserati instead of a truck? Perhaps I prefer to call it stupid. But for the moment, let's stay with vain. I want to look good, as if what God has made me isn't good enough. A waste of time and money that the Lord has provided me buying a Maserati when I need a truck, especially when I'm trying to load asphalt for my job today and I don't have a truck. Is it vanity that makes me spend money on plastic surgery instead of paying my health insurance? Well, you might need plastic surgery, but we'll talk about that in a minute and decide not to get it. You might need it. Well, we're going to talk about what happens when you decide against the things you need too. Is it vanity that makes me spend money incorrectly? Just because I don't like my face this morning, maybe I get plastic surgery? Is it vanity that forces me to make payroll instead of pay my taxes? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe my face needs help. Maybe for years I didn't cover it in the sun and now there's problems. Maybe today I'm trying to get a job at the Maserati factory so I need the right car. Maybe I have to finish the job. In order to do that, I have to pay my employees and then deal with the IRS bill. Are any of these real situations? Could be. You see, we have to find the truth in every situation to do the right thing, and that's hard to do. Vanity gets in the way. What's cool and what needs to be done are very different. They could be the same. Could be. Vanity is sneaky, and it's not very fun. It's a tough taskmaster, and it is a false god. Sometimes the right thing to do must be without ego and a whole lot of humble pie, as they say. People perceive benefit. If I do this, then I'll really be groovy. Be careful with that statement. If I borrow more money, buy a new this or that. Get it? You know that one. I can borrow more money, I'll buy a new this and that. Then I'll really make things happen with the rest of the money after I buy a few things I need, even though I already owe a bunch of money. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to get a loan, I'll buy some stuff I need, and I'll fix the company. Be very careful with that. Is that truth? It could be. It could be, but what is needed might be that you need to just cut costs and stop trying to look good. Be very careful with these statements. In thinking in our head, somewhere there may be things necessary. In all this thinking about what I got to have and what I need, there is truth in it. You got to find the truth because it might be shrouded in things that are unnecessary and wasteful. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Ah, come on. Do I need to say another word? When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Oh, but with humility comes wisdom. Now, for sheer excitement, let me give you the other side of vanity. Instead of getting expensive items that we feel will help us look like the in crowd, we do the opposite for the same reason. For the same reason. Instead of getting all these expensive things because we want to be in the in crowd, we don't do that for the same reason. Let me make up an example. I'm in construction again, let's say. That's the easiest one for me. I know we have a lot of different companies, but let's say we're using construction as that. Instead of a Ford F-250 dump truck, which I might need to do the job, I'm sure I'm not worth that super good dump truck. I've been a schmuck, and I don't think I'm worth it. So instead, I buy a mini truck to do the job of a big truck. When people see me in that, they will know how frugal I am and really think I'm something. I get the wrong thing for the job. I think it'll look good. It's better. Do I really need to explain what happens when you show up with a mini truck and you need a real truck? Rather than get the right hairstyle, I don't deserve it, so I cut it myself. Unless you're going for a shave cut without hair, doing it yourself generally doesn't work out. I don't deserve reconstructive face surgery or dental surgery. I'll save the money and tell people how smart I am. I'll get to it when I have $1 million in the bank. I skip health insurance. My family is healthy. Could you be more destructive? I'll forfeit my own pay, causing foreclosure on my house, skip payroll tax to buy my goofy truck, throw my tax notice to levy into the drawer and tell my spouse we will save the money. Frugal is my middle name. All insanity. Just ask the question, what does the job require today, and get to it. Proverbs 18:12, before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. What I just said is like impersonating humility because you think it looks good. Do you work for the earth or do you work for God? We all make these mistakes. There is truth, a little bit of truth in all of it, but not enough to make it right. As a matter of fact, there's not enough to make it right, and that makes it not right. Ask God what you need today. I ask him, what do you need? What do I need to do today? Ask for a blessing over my chores. So for you, ask God what you need today and ask for a blessing over your chores. That's it. Don't think about it too much. Just do the job and use what is necessary. And if you need something, pray for it. Pray for it. He will provide it for you. Sure, I'm giving you exaggerations in all this, but am I? Am I really giving you exaggerations? We do really silly things to prove something that doesn't need proving. All of us do such things. The difference between things you want and things you need, a blessing or a trap. Generally things I want, are a trap. I want it. It's a trap. And things I need, God provides. Come on, that doesn't mean that we don't need nice things. Quite the opposite. We need what we need for the job. Things you need are hard to pay for. But not as hard to pay for as doing it wrong, okay? Things you need are hard to pay for, but not as hard to pay for as doing it wrong. Don't go with how you feel. Go with what needs to be done. Don't decide what you deserve, either too much or too little. Just instead, exactly what's needed. In His grace, giving Him all the glory. I got what I needed. Just give Him the glory. When it comes time for a haircut, go to the right guy. Time for the tools, get the correct brand. Time for a vehicle, pay the price for the right one. Clothes, the same mindset. Personal item, kids, office food, get what is needed, what is correct. Not your perception of cool or hip or anything else, but what is needed. Exodus 4, this is a good one. But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." Notice God did not say, "Hey, Moses, you want to lead the people? Prove you're worth it. Wear sandals that are too small, clothes that don't fit, cut your hair weird, and drive a camel way too small for you and your brother. Then I will know you are worthy through the pain of doing it all wrong." No, that's just crazy, right? You notice he also didn't say, "Hey, Mo, get a camel with chrome toe covers and a golden saddle, some designer robes and a new blonde weave on top so you look the part. Then let's talk." He didn't say any of that. He just said, "Hey, Mo, go on. You're fine. As is. Get to work. I'll keep you posted along the way, and you'll be more than good because I'll show you what to do. I got you," is basically what God said. The first rule of leadership is to be the job. People relax when you show up with the right tools, you talk with purpose, and you care. Billy Page wrote a song for Dobie Gray that hit the charts in 1965. The lyrics highlight what I'm talking about today. "I'm in with the in crowd. I go where the in crowd goes. I'm in with the in crowd, and I know what the in crowd knows." And it went on to say, "Any time of the year, don't you hear, dressing fine, making time. We breeze up and down the street. We get respect from the people we meet. They make way day or night. They know the in crowd is out of sight. I'm in with the in crowd. I know every latest dance. When you're in the in crowd, it's easy to find romance." Ah, come on, man. These are things that get us into trouble, waste time, mess up our priorities, and have nothing to do with the Lord. Rather, step up, grow up, mature in the you the Lord has made. Matthew 5:37, "But let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Don't get caught up in all this, "Why do I think this way? Why do I feel this way? What was wrong with me? I grew up in military school. I probably don't have it. Nobody loved me." Stop it. Vanity for me has two faces. The wrong expensive stuff, the wrong inexpensive stuff. It all costs the same in the end, right? It all costs the same. Mistakes always cost in the end, and waste the time and blessings that God has given you. How do I make sense of it? Back to the book, kiddos. Matthew 6:31. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Come on, what do we conclude of this chapter? Keep it simple. Don't ask too many questions when there's work to be done. Be glad for the work. Dress correctly, get the tools, make the list, get her done. Vanity causes massive doubt, debt, Vanity causes massive doubt, debt, weird investments, ridiculous schemes, and worse. God is trying to teach us not to be dumb, not to do dumb things. How do we hear Him? What is the solution? Cut it out. Just stop. Get back to the job. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Don't doubt. Ask him in faith. What's the prayer? What could a prayer be, possibly? Let me give you an example. Lord Jesus, you are right here, right now. You are not patching things up. You are making them new again. Open my mind to what new means. Open my heart to what new could be, and let it be with me. And let me be a participant in this work with you. Right here, Jesus, right now. Jesus, amen. As I said in the beginning of this chapter, Romans 12:3, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give you, each of you, this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Be honest in your evaluation is like me saying, don't think you're better or don't think you're not better. Don't think you're anything. Make an accurate measure. This week, I heard a voice coming through the phone saying something I have heard a lot. It's challenging for me, so I'll share it with you. It goes something like this. Hey, buddy, I'm not doom and gloom. I'm here for the good ride. You only live once, and you got to get all you can get and ride the ride, baby. The rest of this mumbo jumbo is for the birds. I'm good with my EIDL loan, and I'm going to roll it into a few investment properties and kick back, do my own thing. You only live once, man, and I'm going to get all I can get and enjoy life. That's what it's all about. There is a sliver of truth in that set of words. You only live once. That is a really hard thing, and I hear it not a lot, but I do hear it. There's a sliver of truth in it. You only live once. Doom and gloom is real. We talk about it a lot because it's real, and it's waiting for you. The wages of sin are death. It talks about the devil as a lion waiting to kill, steal, and destroy. To devour is the word it uses in the book. That's doom and gloom. Well, how do we stay out of it? It's waiting for all of us if we stumble. The parking ticket we all pay for our mistakes is generally paid for by our families, our children, time wasted with profits and talents given to us by the Lord. I say it again, yes, we are all saved, but when we stumble, we make mistakes for everybody all around us. And there's a price to pay for it, and hopefully God will just teach us, not take everything away from us. There is doom and gloom in this life. Make no mistake. There is doom and gloom in this life and in the afterlife for those who continue to choose vanity as a false god. For those of us who continue to make decisions that are vain, that are of this world, not of the Lord. It's just a real thing. It's not my idea. I am in business today because people want to do better, not because they make mistakes, because they want to do better, not because they make mistakes. I'm not in business because people make mistakes. I'm in business because people want to do better. They want to do better. Respect the warnings in this life that God has given you. You only live once. Yes, that's true. Make a difference with that life. Stand before the Lord. When you stand before the Lord with a good resume and live forever. The crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We inherit this crown through the righteousness of Christ, which is what gives us a right to it. And without that, it cannot be obtained. It is obtained and possessed in a righteous way, not by force and deceit, as earthly crowns sometimes are. It is an everlasting crown, promised to all who love the Lord and eagerly wait for his return. Through our own enduring discouragement, persecution, sufferings, or even death, we know assuredly our reward is with Christ in eternity. Philippians 3:20 tells me that. This crown is not for those who depend upon their sense of righteousness or of their own works. Such an attitude breeds only arrogance and pride, not a longing, a fervent desire to be with the Lord. Stay out of the black forest. There are no shortcuts. God has made a magnificent you. Give it back to him. Do all the things to bring glory to him, not you. What is a crown of life? You know, a crown, there are five crowns. And someday Rick will give us a teaching on that. But in the crowns of light, when you show up for God, you're all going to heaven. You believe in Christ. You do the do. You walk the walk. You talk the talk. You try every day. You sin. You say you're sorry. You try again. You try again. You're working to be a better everything for Christ. The crowns are certain things that you get as kind of a badge of honor for doing certain work. You want that from Jesus. You want that. You still get to go to heaven. I don't know what the badge gets you in heaven. Maybe it gets you at the front of the line at the buffet. I don't know. But I know it's a wonderful thing to be given a badge of honor by Jesus. Many people say, I will give my crown back to you, because that's where it came from. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But God has made a magnificent you. Use it. Is there doom and gloom on the other side of it? Yeah. You don't use it right? You don't use the authority and that he has given you? To those who are given much, much is required. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Vanity. Vanity gets in the way. It is a miscalculation. It is an incorrect answer. It is a red mark on the test. It is wrong. It is not work. It is not something that makes it work. It's like the wrong brakes. I need brakes on my truck. If I get brakes that go to your car and put them on my truck, it's wrong. Vanity is the same way. Vanity is an incorrect assessment. Dig it, kids. God's love is a rough ride, but not as rough as without God. It's not as rough as it is without God. You don't need a new suit or a new haircut for some occasion. You need the right suit and the right haircut, the right tools, the right information. And of course, we all need the right God, the only God. The Lord Jesus is your Savior and mine. Stay with the A-team, kids, and run with the King. Run with the King, baby. Amen. I'll see you guys in a minute. Well, I'm going to pray with you right now. Chapter 50, Vanity, 2022. John, let's pray into the day.